Hello and welcome back to the 2014 edition of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I'm Alan Jackaway, and across from me is Mr. James Bunnell.
Hello, listeners.
You might have thought we were gone for the year, we were done, we were going to hang it up after one season.
Yeah.
We wouldn't do that to you.
No.
We know that we're the foremost people focusing on defensive football analysis, mm-hmm. and we're here to bring you the goods again.
Yeah.
So what we're going to have is we're going to have four podcasts like we did last year, one for each set of divisions. So
right.
The AFC West and NFC West is what we're going to be doing today. At some point, we're going to have to do two in a week because
yeah.
we learned last year that you have to do two in a week to be able to preview the first week's games.
Turns
so
out.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do that sometime. We'll figure out what the schedule is, and that's pretty much going to be it. So without further ado, we are going to jump right into the West previews. We decided it would be appropriate to start with the West because that's where the two Super Bowl teams came from. And specifically, we're going to start with the NFC West and take the teams in reverse order from how well they did last year. Or I guess in order of how well they did, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. Ascending or descending.
We're going to start with a preview of the Seattle Seahawks. James, are they any good at defense?
I don't know. I think there was some question about that last year. Yes. They proved last year pretty definitively that it's defense that wins championships.
And they managed to return a pretty good number of their players, which is impressive for any Super Bowl team.
Yeah. I think you look at the Legion of Boom, which was where most of the players that left the Seahawks actually left from, and you look at it and you still kind of are terrified of every single aspect of it. It's not gotten any worse, that's for sure.
I certainly would be if I looked at it. So what's strange about this, though, James, is they don't seem to be that good for fantasy.
No, and I think we talked about this a lot last year, that there is a problem when you're talking about fantasy defensive stats, which is that sometimes players can be too good to be good for fantasy.
Yep.
And that's the problem, is that everybody knows that the Seattle secondary is so good, no one even bothers trying to throw passes at them. So they can't get those interceptions in those pass defenses. They're too good at their job for fantasy purposes. They are not too good at their job for winning Super Bowl purposes.
Yeah, so, you know, there's obviously some very good players there, but a lot of them not really fantasy relevant. Richard Sherman, I think we have ranked in like the 30s among cornerbacks, pretty low for him.
Yeah.
There are players who are useful. I mean, Earl Thomas was an extremely useful safety, should be starting in the vast majority of leagues. A couple of the linebackers there, but it's just kind of weird to see a team that's so dominant. But it kind of gets to a couple theories I have about defense. Let me put this down.
Mm-hmm.
I think you want good defensive team players on bad defensive teams.
Yeah.
So I think the problem with Seattle is that they get spread around too much, and the result is a lot of players in our 100 to 200 range of our rankings, which will be available at alanjackaway.com. By the time this podcast is posted, we will have rankings available. So I just think that what happens is, if you have too many players that are too good, the tackles get spread out, and you just don't get a consistent production from any of them. And so, you know, we wind up with Earl Thomas and Bobby Wagner both ranked, at least in the, you know, reasonably high, but not too much else. So I don't know that we really want to go into these players that much more. Again, you can see the rankings, so we're not going to talk about all the players. But we are going to do one important thing. James.
Yeah.
Seattle Seahawks, 2014 regular season win total, over under 11 games.
11 is kind of a lot.
It is kind of a lot.
But you got to think, Percy Harvin should be healthy for the whole year.
Or at least the first game.
Or at least the first game. The defense has not suffered at all during the offseason. So I think I'm pretty comfortable in going ahead and saying over.
I am less comfortable, but will also say over. I don't know, do I get bonus points if I say push and then they do it, or should I just...
Yeah, no, we'll give you bonus points.
No, I don't think it's a fool's errand. We'll stick with the over. We both like the Seattle Seahawks, and as I think we're about to get to, I'm a little down on some of the other teams in their division. The next best finishing team in the NFC West was the San Francisco 49ers. So I had a couple things about them. So you may recall a particularly gruesome injury to one of Fantasy's best players last year, Navarro Bowman,
in the
playoffs. He's expected to miss at least half of the year.
Yeah.
And I think we are ranking him, but he obviously would have been ranked probably in the top 10, I think, among all players had he been healthy.
Certainly.
And instead he's going to be ranked in like the 150 kind of flyers at the end of the draft range, right?
Yeah.
So, with that said, where does Patrick Willis go?
Now, that's a good question. If you look at the San Francisco depth chart, it's kind of weird, because you remember them from last year as having a team that had a really dominant defense,
yep.
Right? And this year, the defense looks shockingly less dominant.
It does. I agree. When I was looking at it, I was like, wow, they've really fallen off. And it's Bowman, and it's Aldon Smith being in a questionable state, which we're not going to comment on any further than that.
Nope. And they didn't really make all that many improvements. If anything, it's just gotten older.
Right. So my opinion on this, though, is that Patrick Willis should be high, and I think that the two of us are ranking him appropriately, but much higher than he scored last year. Because I think what's going to happen is, so here's theory number two. We already did theory number one about mm-hmm. defensive players, right? Theory number two about defensive players is that sometimes the scorekeeping is a little wonky.
Yes.
So you may recall there was a game where some player, Kiko Alonso or Luke Kuechly? Luke Kuechly. It was definitely Luke Kuechly last year. Got like 23 tackles.
Yes.
And let's just say some of those tackles were a little questionable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you have a dominant name, that player tends to get more of those half tackles even if they weren't involved. And I think that, you know, not to say anything bad about Patrick Willis. Patrick Willis is a very good player. He has been a very good player for a long time. And I could totally see him having like one of those vintage London Fletcher seasons. So a season where he goes over 100 tackles, rightfully.
Yeah.
But I also see him benefiting from any time players go up the middle and both of those linebackers are involved. I think there's going to be times where he gets full tackles where they were assists and times where he gets assists that he wasn't really involved in. So I think just because of the name recognition, he kind of gets moved up, which is a weird thing for fantasy, but it really does happen in the scorekeeping. We've seen it happen.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We could document it if we bothered to write things down in a form that were presentable in a court of law, but we don't, so we won't.
Well, we'll go back. Maybe we should go back. That should be our project before we do the preview of Luke Kuechly. We'll go back and review that game and count up the tackles for ourselves.
That's a good idea.
And decide how many it really should have been, so.
That's a good idea, yeah. I agree. I think Patrick Willis should be ranked pretty high this year in your draft options.
I did have one more thing I wanted to talk about on this team before we move on. There is one player that they brought in that I thought is worth discussing, which is Antoine Bethea.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be one of the two starting safeties, along with Eric Reed, a favorite of yours from last year.
Indeed.
Antoine Bethea last year was a top 10 safety playing
yeah.
for the Indianapolis Colts. I think, personally, that he benefited a little from good player on a bad team last year.
I don't disagree with that.
But the question really comes down to which of them should be ranked higher, Eric Reed or Antoine Bethea? Because if you just go by last year's points, Antoine Bethea was higher by a comfortable amount, although Eric Reed missed a couple games. So you have to kind of decide how you want to look at that. They were pretty similar on a game-by-game basis when each of them played.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You got to think that neither cornerback is going to be very good for the 49ers this year. So both of the safeties are going to be making most of the plays in the secondary. You got to think that. Which just makes it even harder to pick which one of them should be ranked highest. If it were possible, I would probably just rank them in the same spot.
It is possible for us to rank them right next to each other, and we haven't settled on those. So maybe the answer is we should move both of them down.
That's probably true.
From each other, so
I think that that's probably what's going to happen, is that neither one is really going to scare offenses more. Neither one has really got the talent to outpace the other one spectacularly.
Right.
And it probably will just end up splitting between the two pretty evenly.
Right, and so that's what that's going to lead to is us moving both of them, who could have been at least borderline top 10 options, into that 15 to 20 range is probably where they're going to wind up, I suspect.
Yeah.
So, all right. The San Francisco 49ers, unless you have something.
No.
The San Francisco 49ers over-under is 10.5 games.
10.5 wins?
Wins. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, okay.
Will they win 11 games, or will they win 10 or less?
I'm going to say the under this year. I have to think... Again, I'm just not impressed with anything San Francisco did during the offseason. And if anything, I think they've just gotten a little bit older and a little bit worse for wear. So I'm not sure how they're going to pull out those extra wins to get over the 10.5 mark. I'm going to go under.
I was also going to go under here, but I'm thinking about it and remembering that I'm not crazy about the next two teams we're going to talk about. So actually, I'm going to go over here, and the way they're going to win those extra games is with an improved offense. I'm going to say it there. So I think their defense can fall off a little bit and still be above average, and that their offense will be good enough to get them to 11 and battling with the Seahawks for the home field advantage throughout the playoffs again.
Right.
The next team that we should talk about is the Arizona Cardinals, a favorite of ours last year.
Agreed.
You may recall. I'm still a little sad about Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
He is expected to play. There's actually been rumblings, mostly from him, which obviously you shouldn't take very seriously, that he'll play as soon as week one.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that he'll actually be playing a little later than that, something like week four. Four, I think, is what the coaches are predicting. There is still a chance that he starts the season on the PUP list and gets delayed to week 8, but I think we've ranked him as if he's going to start in week 4.
Yeah, which I think is a totally reasonable assumption. He's a young guy.
Yeah, he is, and I think he's healthy and he'll come back fine. It is just a question of when he's ready and what level he's at, but he was a very useful player last year, in fact.
So exciting to watch.
Yeah, exciting to watch and good for fantasy, but better for fantasy than his superior skills-wise teammate, Patrick Peterson, who may not even be ranked. He's sitting around that 200 line where we're going to cut off our rankings this year because he's in our cornerbacks who are too good to score points.
So, yeah, I think especially considering who he's paired up with in the Arizona Cardinals system, which is, of course, Antonio Cromartie.
Yeah,
If I were a quarterback, I don't really know how quarterbacks think, because offense is something I don't understand. But if I were a quarterback and I were given the choice between throwing at Patrick Peterson and throwing at Antonio Cromartie, I'm pretty sure I would throw at Cromartie every single time.
Yeah, so it could be a good year for Cromartie, though we don't have him ranked too highly because who knows?
He might also be not good enough to actually get those plays. He might get beaten every time, so.
The biggest question, I think, on this team from both a schematic standpoint and from a fantasy standpoint is about their linebackers. Standout Darrell Washington is suspended for the whole year.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's any kind of appeal going on there, so I think that's pretty much locked in at this point. I think our highest-ranked linebacker for them is John Abraham from the previously from the Falcons at linebacker 39. Is it really possible for a team not to have any linebacker, a defense we think is good, not to have any linebackers in the top 30?
Probably not. And here's what I think we've done wrong. And I think that we have missed out on an old favorite of mine, a person we lost from the Washington Redskins a couple of years ago, Lorenzo Alexander, who, in the absence of Darrell Washington and after Carlos Dansby was traded, sort of ceased his utility role in his ability to play just about every position and was sort of bred into one of the inside linebacker roles. I think we're going to see him start a bunch at inside linebacker for Arizona this year. And I think he's probably the guy we need to push up in our rankings to that 20-ish range, maybe a little higher, a little lower than 20.
I'm going to resist any pushes you make to move Lorenzo Alexander into the 20-ish range, but the 20 to 30 range, I think, unless that's what you meant by low 20s or whatever.
That's what I'm talking about.
I might be able to be convinced. So look for Lorenzo Alexander to possibly pass John Abraham. I could buy that. John Abraham, I guess he's super sack dependent, so you just don't know what you're going to get there.
Right.
And they still have Calais Campbell, so the sacks are going to come. I actually think this defense will be pretty good. But
I
have concerns about the linebacker core in general, so they might be a team that gets run on successfully, at least for a while.
Quite possibly.
And especially, I think that they'll be a team, for offensive fantasy you say, even if this team isn't really maybe it's a good defense, you still start your running backs against them, because they may be a team where the secondary is so good that teams just run against them anyway, and then on fantasy, all the points go to who knows which linebacker just because the secondary is so good that no teams are daring to throw against them. So,
right.
Something interesting to watch that we'll be looking at throughout the season. Arizona Cardinals over-under is 7.5 wins, which is fewer than they won last year, you may recall. Yeah. And we like them, but I'm going under.
I don't even... Yeah, it's very difficult for me to have... I've liked the defense very much. It's very difficult for me to have faith in the Arizona offense.
Yeah, I like the defense, but it's difficult for me to back, basically just a secondary and an offense. Just a secondary with no offense.
Yeah.
If you have just a secondary and an offense, I can get behind that.
Yeah. I also think I'm going to have to take the under for the Cardinals this year. And I would say that, because no one can prove otherwise, if Tyrann Mathieu were starting in week one, I would go over.
All right, so there you go. What if he does start in week one? Because we can make this pick dependent. I'm okay with that.
If Tyrann Mathieu starts in week one, I will then take the over.
All right. Sounds good to me. The final team in the NFC West is the lowly? Let's say lowly. St. Louis Rams.
Yeah.
A favorite of James's?
Oh, yes.
Due to Oklahoma quarterback Sam Bradford.
Yes.
let's get rid of a couple easy things here.
Mm-hmm.
We have Robert Quinn ranked number 2 overall after J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
I think we're going to stick by that. He did outscore J.J. Watt last year, but I'm not willing to make that step.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm... People may look at our rankings when they see them and see that we have ranked 2 defensive ends as the top 2 picks in our league, and they may think that we have completely lost our mind. But, as Alan has said many times last year, one of the things about you have to consider in fantasy is that a really good defensive end is worth more for your team in comparison to other defensive ends than a really good linebacker is in comparison to other linebackers. Because the difference between a really good defensive end and an average defensive end is much greater than the difference between a really good linebacker and an average linebacker in terms of fantasy scoring points, right?
And maybe in terms of real life, too.
That's true.
And last year, there were only 2 really good defensive ends.
Yes,
these
indeed.
These two, Robert Quinn and J.J. Watt, scored something like 30 points more than the next group.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference, and one that you don't find in linebackers, which drop off in a more consistent rate.
Right.
So that's why we rank them highly.
Yeah.
The next talking point that I have written here, which is important, is that they practice in Earth City, Missouri. I was doing some research on Aaron Donald, who we should talk about in a second here, and I learned that the Missouri Rams practice in Earth City. Earth City! How have we missed this for so long?
I don't know. I don't even understand. I have family that lives in Missouri, and I've never even heard of Earth City. I don't understand.
It's pretty small. It may just exist for the St. Louis Rams. Anyway, so we're looking out to Earth City. Yeah. We're thinking
Earth City
while we talk
officially
about the rest of this.
The city of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast.
There
Earth
you go.
City, Missouri.
Sure, we can do it. Why not? The city. So, back onto analysis a little bit here.
Sure.
Aaron Donald.
Uh-huh.
So, the Rams had what you could describe as a wealth of picks in the draft, thanks to the RG3 trade.
Uh-huh.
And their first pick went to a defensive tackle named Aaron Donald, which might be confusing when you consider that that might not have been their first pick. One of their first-round picks went to a defensive tackle named Aaron Donald. That's a little confusing because they already had 2 defensive tackles who wound up in the top 10 in fantasy last year. So the question is, what do we do with the likes of Michael Brockers, given that Aaron Donald is coming in?
Yeah, well, so obviously the Rams think very highly of Aaron Donaldson, or they wouldn't have used one of their myriad of first-round picks to get him, right? And I think we should look to see Aaron Donald get a lot of playing time maybe later in the season. The first official depth chart that the Rams have released still lists Brockers at number 1 for that slot, and Donaldson at number 2. But Donald at number 2. But the Rams obviously have a lot of faith in him. The Rams will obviously have to rely very heavily on their defense this year. So yeah. I think We're going to have to push him up in our rankings, is what I'm going to say. I'm not sure how high we want to put him, but amongst defensive tackles, I don't know, 10-15 range?
Yeah, and I think 10-15 range is plausible. It's just, it's hard to see what they're going to do. And honestly, what I think they're going to do is rotate these players. So last year, we had Michael Brockers, who we knew was going to be good, was actually slightly outscored by Kendall Langford.
Yeah.
I think if someone's going to fall off, it's Langford, and that's the player that we need to move down. And maybe what we wind up doing is continuing to rank Michael Brockers based on what he did last year, moving both Langford and Aaron Donald into that backup defensive tackle role, which really kind of means that you're probably not drafting them.
Yeah.
I think most teams aren't drafting a backup defensive tackle. So... No. They may just have to drop off, which is sad for a team that produced two starting caliber defensive tackles last year, but that just may be what happens if they really go to a rotation, which is what I think is going to happen.
Probably will. Honestly, that would be better for the team as a whole. It would keep both players fresher and less prone to injury.
And
make the defense
teams
more
shocking. Can have productive... a number of productive players. That's what we saw on the New York Jets last year, which is that they had a number of productive players, more than they had official starters on that line.
That
so
is true.
It's possible, I think, for two of those defensive tackles to be useful again,
mm-hmm.
but I'm most confident about Brockers, less confident about the next two. So I think that's how we're going to rank them. Without further ado, the St. Louis Rams over-under is 7.5 wins, just like the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I went under on the Cardinals, so I have to go under on the Rams. Otherwise, that would just be inconsistent.
That's true. I went conditionally over on the Cardinals.
I recall.
And my love of Sam Bradford knows no bounds, and so I will easily take the over for the St. Louis Rams.
Does that mean you're potentially going over on all... No, you went under on the 49ers.
I went under on the 49ers.
Right, so they're going to have to lose a lot of games. Bottom falls out on the 49ers for these teams to win.
They tank, lose the whole division.
There you go.
St. Louis Rams, Super Bowl champions 2014.
Okay. With that, we will be moving to the AFC in a moment. We begin the AFC preview with the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, if I recall.
Woot woot.
I think that happened.
It seems like it should have happened.
It seemed like it was pretty much guaranteed to happen at one point.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning had a career, or a season of a lifetime, and they scored about a bajillion points, I think.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
And then they won the Super Bowl.
That must be what happened.
49-7 or something.
Must be what happened.
Someone won 49-7.
I don't know.
In any case... They bring back a defense that looks similar, but with some notable differences, the main one being Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
Who is a player who actually scored pretty well in fantasy for a little while last year. They're also bringing back Chris Harris, who had been injured for a lot of the year in the whole playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And they've brought in DeMarcus Ware. So it's a lot of changes, and a lot of changes in veteran players. It's a team that obviously wants to surround Peyton Manning, which with what they think is elite talent for the years that he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some fantasy questions, though. What do we do with DeMarcus Ware?
Yeah.
Let's just do that one first.
Okay.
What do we do with DeMarcus Ware?
I don't know is the answer to that question. I think, in all fairness, I think we probably rank him pretty high. Because the rest of the Seattle frontline...
Denver
frontline...
We knew what you meant. Yeah. We were still talking about the Super Bowl
still champions. Still talking about Super Bowl champions, right? Yeah.
He's not good.
Yes. He is good. And he's going to make his presence felt.
And I think specifically, even if they used him only situationally on passing downs, he would get a lot of sacks.
Yes.
So he's a player, I think, who can be relied on for sacks. If you play in a scoring system like we do that scores sacks a lot, I think he's worth getting. And specifically because I think maybe... 3/4 of the sacks are going to come between him and Von Miller, assuming Von Miller stays healthy. So right now we have DeMarcus Ware sitting around defensive end 23. I think we should move him up there.
Yeah.
So we need to do a little more research on his usage, but I think he'll be moving up into the top 20 there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Von Miller.
Okay.
Von Miller, at one point, there was a year that Von Miller, you may recall, was like the second highest scoring linebacker in fantasy.
Yeah.
Then he tore his ACL, and then he tore his ACL, if I recall.
I think.
Well, he got suspended. There were a lot of issues, let's just say.
Yeah.
So, where do we rank Von Miller? The answer, I think, should be pretty high. So, I don't, you know, I think that we shouldn't assume he's going to tear another ACL.
No.
And we can dock him a little for health and for coming back, but yeah. I think that we should have him certainly as a starter, projected as a starter among linebackers.
Yeah,
that's where I think he should be.
I agree completely with that analysis. I think that, you know, despite the large number of strange things that have happened to him over the last couple of years,
yeah.
He may have lost a little bit of physical ability just from having to reconstruct so many different parts of his body, but the intelligence and the talent is still there. He's still going to be able to make plays. He's still on a really good defense that's going to allow him to make plays. And he's still one of the stars of this defense. So he is going to be able to outshine, talent-wise, the other people that he's working with.
And
soak up a lot of those tackles. Scoring you a lot of points.
I think so. It's hard to rank him too high because there's a chance he's just going to not have it back together. But if I'm in a draft, then I'm, in that area of linebackers where we're looking at, say, Bobby Wagner and A.J. Hawk, I think that's where I want to take him. Like, I'm willing to take the risk on a player who might wind up in the top five once I'm getting into those later starters for your team.
Yeah.
A couple more. I want to talk about the cornerbacks really quickly.
We should.
Which is to say that I think Aqib Talib and Chris Harris are all potentially useful because it's not a team where... It's a team where Denver's going to score a lot of points and teams are going to have to throw to keep up. I think TJ Ward is going to be extremely valuable this year, and we have him ranked appropriately for that. But in terms of the cornerbacks, I want to talk about a rookie. I want to bring up rookie Brian Roby, who's going to be playing, I think, nickel cornerback. And when inevitably one of Aqib Talib or Chris Harris will get hurt, right? It's almost impossible. Talib generally is hurt at least a couple weeks, and Chris Harris has had issues of his own. So I think Brian Roby is a place where you can get someone who's going to be starting and see a lot of action. In the worst case, he winds up being a bad cornerback, which we know is good for fantasy.
Exactly. You know, he'll get a lot of tackles.
If he gets promoted into that second cornerback spot due to injury, you might have hit a jackpot there. So I think Brian Roby is well worth drafting. Especially as your first backup cornerback. That's about where I like him.
You know how much I love rookies. We can push him as far up in the rankings as you want.
Indeed we can. Do you have something else for this team?
Not particularly.
Very good.
The secondary is scary. And all probably going to be good, which is the weird thing.
I think they are going to be good this year. Yeah. So it's a positive improvement there.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos. Win total. Over under. 11.5 games. Another big number. And
ouch.
I'm going over again.
Yeah. If it were just... if it were 11, I would take it and feel like it was going to push. But 11.5... Peyton Manning can do it again. Over.
We're not going to disagree on any of these this year.
It's going to be weird.
Either a really good sign or a really bad sign.
And after 1 year of doing this, our thoughts have merged, it would seem.
It does seem that way. Somehow this division produced two more playoff teams last year.
Yeah.
Even though I think that we're... not that excited about either of these. So let's do the Kansas City Chiefs next. Why not, right? I don't have any notes about the Kansas City Chiefs. I literally just wrote, remember Dontari Poe? Which is to say, remember last year for the first 4 weeks when Dontari Poe was like
the
second highest
ever?
Scoring defensive tackle and like outpacing a bunch of defensive ends? It's sad that that didn't keep going.
Yeah, it really is.
And it wasn't an injury thing. It wasn't anything obvious. And it's just... a situation where we can't rank him highly, I don't think. We'll have
probably
him near
not.
The end of the defensive tackle rankings. And that's just how it goes. So
yeah, and I mean, the worst part is, like, that's what we have to say about this entire defense, which isn't really all that bad.
They were very good for a while last year.
Yeah.
They scored a lot of touchdowns, though.
Yeah.
And we know that's not that repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost some players, and I'm not optimistic about almost anything on this team.
Me neither.
Yeah, so, I don't know. See our rankings for how we feel about individual players, but I don't think we have anything really specific to say about this.
I avoid them like the plague.
Yeah,
like a really boring plague.
Right, I mean, I think that there are players who should still be drafted. Justin Houston and Taba Hali should still be drafted.
True.
But that might be it.
Yeah.
So, and maybe Dontari Poe. He's a good... if you get down to the defensive tackles, let's say you're waiting on defensive tackle, you're not going to get one of the top guys.
Sure.
And you're already picking at the end, picked on Tari Poe. Maybe he'll get back to where he
was. You know that he's got the potential. Right. We know the ceiling is high.
Yeah, and we just don't know how often he's going to be there. So I think that's a reasonable approach to this team, but just not too much there beyond what the rankings say, I don't think. So, without further ado, the Kansas City Chiefs over under 8 wins. I'm going under.
I am also going under.
Take that, Kansas City. Yeah. Take that, Andy Reid. Yeah. We liked you last year, and you totally came through for us, but your over-under was like 4 last year, so.
Yeah, so you set the bar too high for yourself.
Exactly, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. So, I think 8, this is another push, honestly.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, the other playoff team, somehow, the San Diego Chargers went to the playoffs last year.
This is a magical team right here.
It is, because their defense last year, and I would argue possibly this year, was real bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I think one of the things that we will see this year, I know we've talked about Dwight Freeney before. Alan does not agree with me at all about Dwight Freeney. This year he will be healthy. This year he will play. And this year he'll also have Melvin Ingram starting in the same lineup with him. They will actually play games together, which is a thing that did not happen last year.
It didn't happen at all.
No, they didn't play a single... They did not start a single game together. This year, at least for the first game, that's going to happen. And we're going to see how well that works out. I predict that will work out well. I think it'll work out well for Ingram. I don't think it'll work out well for Freeney. I think the two together will complement each other. I think Ingram will score more points in your fantasy leagues. And maybe that'll take some pressure off of Weddle, so he can actually...
Yeah, although Weddle actually wound up as, like, the 4th or 5th highest scoring safety last year.
Did he?
He totally deserved it. Owning him, it did not feel that way, but he did actually wind up doing pretty well. He was consistently okay, and that was enough to bring him to 4th or 5th. He didn't get injured, none of that stuff, so...
Well, that's good. So, I'm good on Eric Weddle. I would say watch out for Melvin Ingram.
Do we think Monty Teo is going to make an appearance? I mean, he's going to make an appearance. Right. Do you think he's going to make a fantasy appearance?
I'm done with him.
I think he's draftable, but not as a starter.
That's probably reasonable.
I have another player I think who is draftable, but not as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Rookie Jason Verrett.
Ooh.
So rookie Jason Verrett has this pull quote from Mike Mayock. And this is the kind of quote that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Mayock says... This is one of my favorite players in the entire draft, so that's good.
That's a good one.
The knock is his size, 5'9", 189 pounds, but he's feisty and so competitive. Sometimes a bigger wideout can take advantage of him. You know what I like? A starting cornerback, and he's starting nickel, I think, but he could move up into the starting lineup.
Easily move up.
Who wide receivers can take advantage of. That's exactly what I like.
A recipe for lots of tackles and lots of pass defenses.
We're not probably ranking him as drafted as a starter, but we will be ranking him. So I think he's worth taking as a flyer later in your drafts. I think he's worth looking into.
Yeah.
Anything else on the San Diego Chargers?
Absolutely not.
Do you want to guess what their over-under is?
Is it 4?
No, it's 8.
Whoa!
Just like the Chiefs.
What the hell?
And we're both going to go under it.
Yeah, because there's no way they're going to win. Unless,
I mean,
the thing is that Philip Rivers...
was quite good.
Is a magician. Yeah. I don't even understand how 70%... You guys, 70% completion.
I think that their system really works for what Philip Rivers is now. And, I think that is going to continue to be around, but I just... It was a miracle that they won 9 games last year, and it would take a miracle for them to do it again. So we'll win and push one of each of the Chiefs and the Chargers.
It does seem
reasonable. That's my personal goal for us. The final team in the West preview is the Oakland Raiders?
Yeah.
Who knew? So last year, you may recall that we had no idea what was going on with this team.
Yes.
It was a mixture of rookies and grizzled veterans.
Yes.
And somehow, it's still a mixture of really young players and grizzled veterans.
Remarkably, no one, even now, after a year of it, no one has any idea what's going on. We saw some interesting things out of the Raiders last year. We saw Charles Woodson put up some hilarious numbers.
Yeah.
We saw Nick Roach become a viable linebacker.
And we have him ranked pretty high this year. I think he's going to be quite good this year.
There's no reason to assume he's not going to continue to do that. And the Raiders this year add a healthy Tyvon Branch.
Yeah.
Who is going to... I feel like his presence will probably make Charles Woodson even better in fantasy. Maybe. Because I don't. I mean, you can't think that quarterbacks are going to choose to throw at Branch over Charles Woodson, who is got to be like 100 years old, right?
He must be. He's like in the Hall of Fame already. I think so.
Yeah, he retired 5 years ago. And they add Justin Tuck and LeVar Woodley to their pass rush. Two guys who are totally useful. I don't know. It's going to be a weird year for the Raiders.
I actually think this defense is going to be pretty decent.
I mean, it basically has to be. That's true.
But that's okay. You can get by with a decent pass rush anchored by Justin Tuck.
Yeah.
And Woodley.
Yeah.
And two pretty good inside linebackers. Nick Roach we're going to have ranked pretty high, and Kevin Burnett puts up stats if nothing else. So
yeah.
I actually think this defense is going to be pretty good.
It's going to be kind of exciting to watch them this year. And, you know, Matt Schaub, just leave that in the back of your mind.
So, with the Matt Schaub note,
yeah,
Oakland Raiders, 5 wins.
I would easily take the over on that.
I'm going to take the over, too, James. We like the Oakland Raiders, sort of.
We are surprised by the Oakland Raiders.
We like them in a way that we don't like the Chargers and the Chiefs. So that's something. That is something. And that is everything, as the West is concerned.
So long, West. We'll see you in 4 weeks.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. You can email us.
You really can.
Comments and questions. You totally can. People have done it. Real humans have done it.
Yeah, well, we think they're real humans. We don't actually have a third-party verification system, but...
Yeah, I think mostly real humans, though. It seemed like it was about football.
True.
So
that's
true. Assume it's real humans. They've done it. You can do it, too. podcast@alanjackaway.com is the email. Our theme and interstitial music is Still Giants by Ned and the Dirt. You can see them, probably, on tour. They've been touring a lot.
They're real good.
They are real good. James, it's only training camp, and we have a hit of the week.
I know! This is going to be the best football season ever!
This hit of the week is not a positive thing.
It is not
something that we really support, except that, you know, maybe it is something we really support. Training camp is a time when veterans and rookies get together, they hit each other a little, and sometimes someone gets really mad.
Yeah.
Who can forget that time that Thomas Jones broke a guy's jaw?
Yeah, right? No one.
Who can forget it? These things happen. And what happened this week, James?
This week, in the Chicago Bears training camp, Martellus Bennett was running some 7-on-7 drills with the second or third string defense at this point. And a rookie drafted by the Chicago Bears named Kyle
Fuller.
Went for a strip on a ball after Bennett had caught a pass and missed the ball and grabbed Bennett's face instead and pulled him to the ground. Bennett did not like this one bit, and he expressed his disapproval for Fuller's tactics by picking him up and throwing him headfirst into the ground.
Yeah. Which, we don't support the action, but we do support not wanting to get killed in practice, which is what made him angry.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't take that out by trying to kill someone in practice.
No, because it seems like it's a...
But, nonetheless, because hits of the week are few and far between in training camp, we get almost no video of this at all. Martellus Bennett, you've got our hit of the week. And with that, I am Alan.
And I'm James. Stay low.